Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
Everyone should be treated equally, and the legal system should work for the people, not against them. Every day, our network of supporters, lawyers, and educators from across the country continue to fight against injustice and oppression, both in and outside of the courtroom and at all levels of government.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
If the right sphere of the brain controls the left side of the body, and the left sphere of the brain controls the right side of the body, does this mean only left-handed people are in their right minds?
UMFM 101.5. Listened to by left and right-handed people.
Welcome to Manitoba in the Moment on 101.5 UMFM. So today we have on Banana Crisis.
Yep.
So today we're kind of just talking about how you guys have been playing so much and your new releases and all that kind of fun stuff. So how about you guys start into how you all got into music?
Ooh.
I've been playing since a wee lad. This is Andrew here. Tunes for Twos, my parents put me in. I was 2 years old, and it was basically just babysitting, but while you learned the C major scale, and then graduated to piano when I was 3, and then switched to guitar when I was 8, and look how far we've come.
Yeah, this is Shelby speaking. I was about 5, I think, living with my grandpa, and he was always a drummer. Whole side of the family was drummers. And they used to have jam nights at our place in our garage, and I would just kind of sit in and play, like, from a very young age. And as I got older, he would take me out to, like, the Belgian club, where they would have blues and folk jam nights, and just been taking it ever since then. Like, bands in high school, making more, like, pop-punk music was kind of how I grew into, like, the direction I started taking it. Yeah, and then fast forward, I found these guys.
Yeah.
Fun. Sweet. And then your grandpa also had a show.
Yeah, here.
Yeah.
Leonard Oslin, Fishing with Lenny.
So if any of you remember that or have been through the archives, you would have seen some of those episodes. And then...
Right, last but not least, this is Alec here. I got into music from my dad. He had a crazy, old school CD collection, kind of like what we got here. And I always just thought all the covers looked super cool. And I distinctly remember just finding ones that I liked the covers and playing them. And I really liked the Beatles Revolver cover. Like got some crazy artwork. I'd never seen anything like that. So got into it that way. And then I got Guitar Hero was really big when we were kids. So that kind of shaped my music taste and got me interested in playing. And people always say like Guitar Hero is like, oh, you could play the real thing. But I feel like even just like keeping the rhythm and like the finger dexterity like did sort of help like kind of get into the into the role of playing. So I did lessons for years and I kind of dropped off and would come back and but my dad used to pay me to, he'd be like, learn these three songs in 2 days and we'll go to HMV and I'll buy you some CDs. And that was his like kind of carrot on the stick to get me to keep playing through some of those middle school, high school years. And then just kept going. And then one day we just were like, hey, we should start a band. That'd be fun.
Nice.
Dude, I think I had the first Rock Band drum kit, and I think I wore those sticks to the nub. Like, I played that so much, and like probably genuinely made me such a better drummer too when I was like 14.
Right. Yeah. Keeping the rhythm, keeping the time, get that instant feedback, you're actually hitting it.
Chase the 99%,
Oh yeah. Do that for hours.
Yeah.
Plus it's just having fun too, right?
Yeah. So much fun. And so much like great music is like was available at your fingertips. Like you could kind of get an intro to so many like classic bands or like some hidden gems, through those games.
Yeah, exactly. Had a lot of those at my cousin's house, so whenever we were over there, it was just immediately.
Oh yeah,
nice
hitting the Wii.
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of just mentioned that you sort of ran into each other and started a band. So how did you all actually meet?
Alec and I know each other from middle school. We were besties in middle school.
We bonded over the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, for real. We were talking about this last night, actually. Alec was on he said he got a job just to buy Rubik's Cubes and CDs.
Yeah, that was my middle. And I bought a unicycle, too, actually. Right. Yeah. Just in case it wasn't enough.
I forgot about the unicycle.
Wasn't eccentric enough.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
My brother also has a unicycle.
Nice. It's pretty fun, and it's satisfying to like when you finally get it. But it's kind of like after, it's like, okay, what do I do with this?
Yeah, like it's just kind of
it's just
there.
Like a party trick.
It's a one-trick pony,
pretty much.
Once we're playing big festivals and we got a big enough stage, you got to hit the unicycle.
Oh, yeah.
The unicycle is a guitar solo?
While you play. Yes, please.
I wish I still had it. It'd actually go super well at Folk Fest.
You have a job now. Just buy another one.
True,
I
guess.
That's why you got a job in the first place. Yeah.
I suppose.
Why do you have a job still? Same reason.
So... you two met in middle school, and then how did you guys meet Shelby?
Folkfest, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Coming up next week, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just shopping for stuff. We got a bunch of clothes. Like
glow sticks.
Us three. Glow sticks. Yeah. Lights. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
Folkfest. Shelby was a friend of a friend. And I came by the site, and he's like, our buddy Kyle is like, oh, Shelby's got the Cajon, the box, which I think the first time we jammed, he actually didn't have the box.
Didn't bring it with
me. He had the cooler.
Yeah.
So I was
just
playing,
slapping the cooler.
Guitar, he's slapping the cooler on. I'm like, this is pretty nice in the cooler. And so then, but that was kind of that. And then it wasn't until the year following,
next
did bring the
fest.
Home. It did bring the Cajon.
Yeah.
Jammed again. And I was like, oh, he's pretty nice in the Cajon too. And
at this moment, like when we were jamming, you were currently looking for a drummer, right?
Yeah.
And you, okay.
Yeah. So I didn't know he was an actual drummer. I just thought he was nice on the Cajon. And then it wouldn't have even happened if he wasn't also starting to see a friend of ours at the time. And then we were like hanging out at a birthday party, and Alec was the one to be like, yo, like you look like a musician. Like, what's going on? He's like, yeah, I'm a drummer. He's like, we're like, wait 1 second.
Unprompted.
Yeah.
I did not play the cooler or the cajon for Alec.
No.
I guess look like a drummer.
Shelby looks exactly like a cool drummer. So it's like, it had to be. It's like, you play something.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And so yeah, Shelby did play kit, but he hadn't played kit in a long time.
Like 6 years.
Oh, wow.
I did take a break for quite a while. Yeah.
We dragged him out of retirement.
Did.
Yeah.
One last job.
I'm in.
And we already had the name at that time, too. We had Banana Crisis.
That was the thing. Like, we had the name, and me and Andrew played in another band, and but Andrew was on kit, and I was ripping the bass, and Andrew's got lots of great songs, and he's kind of got that frontman energy. So it was like, at some point, like, you know, he's going to want to do his own thing. I was like, we should start a band. And then, you know, you came up with a great name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a pretty great name.
Yeah.
Superstore.
Superstore?
Did not have bananas. On God. That was, they always have, you know, two full aisles of bananas. And then not a single banana in sight. So
you were in a banana crisis.
Yeah, hit the Snapchat group chat with like, yo, I've been saying it for years. You didn't believe me. The banana crisis is here. And then Alec messaged back like, bad name.
It was low-key a crisis for you, too, because that's like 46% of your diet. Yeah. So it came out of something real.
Yeah.
And I mean, that comes up like now all the time, like at least every day we hang out. Somebody says something foul, and it's like, yo, band name?
We have 200.
Yeah.
But we could spend all hour going through the band name list. But yeah. I think
we wear out the butt.
But I don't think we've topped it. I think still to this day, like.
Oh, Banana Crisis is like a crazy name.
In terms of like a real usable name. Yeah. A lot of them are not usable.
Yeah, no. And I feel like it also suits your music a lot from the stuff that you sent over. To me, it really suits it. Like, it feels like a 90s kind of band the sound of it. So the name really fits.
I mean, like how it's not a serious name, but it's also, well, I kind of like this idea of like, okay, banana is like the goofy part, but then crisis is kind of serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it's the yin and the yang, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So with your songs that you have put out, you had Strangers in the Yard, your first release. How did you guys start off with writing music?
We had Perfect Crime was the first one we put out, and that was like when we had gotten together the very first time. That was one that I had written like 2 months prior, and that was one that I was like, this is a band song. I was playing it on like acoustic guitar, but I'm like, this needs a band. And yeah, as soon as we had jammed it out, we're like, yep, this is going to be a good one.
And that was like first practice, right?
Yeah.
Like right away we were working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was like one of the first things we played.
Okay. So Andrew, do you write a good portion of the songs and bring it to the band?
Yeah, most of them. We got a couple, Alec got a couple lines off on Strangers in the Yard. And Color My Sky, which is unreleased, but that one's coming. That was mostly Alec. Oh, and
a new one.
Yeah,
it was kind of co-written. It was
It
was mostly Boris's idea, and we just kind of hashed it out.
Okay.
Yeah, that song. Still love that word that rhymes with ditch. That song came from instrumental that Alec had. We didn't use the instrumental, but he titled it Still Love That Ditch, or, you know word that is like that. So we were thinking, like, oh, that's a gas title. We need that for something. Like, it just, like, conjures this whole idea. And so then I wrote a song around that, brought it to Alec, and then he took it in a new way, and then we collabed on it and, like, worked out how it was going to be.
Nice. So with Perfect Crime, was it the same sort of thing where you were just coming up with based on a line, or was it based on anything that you were dealing with?
Oh, yeah. I got demons. I almost lit this guy's house on fire. Okay. Bro. I mean, they're just a pair of shoes, but like he was talking trash. It was crazy.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
I think there's a story
take
here.
It easy. Take it easy.
That song was mostly nonsense until I got to like the third verse, or I guess the third verse is the most nonsense. I didn't really know where it was going until I got to the third verse, and then I was like, okay, let's just make this dude like insane. But I remember it started with, it was like a weird mix of different influences for this one line where it starts off, I think there's something in the water here. I'll take a Tito's on the rocks, please. And that line, I had just got back from the LC where I was looking particularly closely at a bottle of Tito's because the football podcast I listened to around the NFL, bro in around the NFL, he's always talking about daddy needs his Tito's, eh? So there is that. And then I was also watching Succession at the time where Kendall, when he falls off the wagon or gets on the wagon, what's the one where you relapse?
Falling off, yeah, I think.
Yeah. Fall off the wagon. But you're back on that wagon. Let's be real. But anyway.
Do you like Tito's? I don't think I've ever seen you drink it.
No, I've never bought it. I think I might have hit it one time.
Okay. So.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Kendall, when he falls off the wagon, he orders Smirnoff on the rocks. And so when I was writing the song, I was like, okay, there's something in the water. So bro was like ordering something else. And then somehow those things came into my brain, and then the rest kind of just like, yeah, I was just like throwing stuff out, and some of it sticks, you know.
Yeah. So what was going on with your shoes then?
Oh,
I think some of those lines are kind of like the yin and the yang, right? Like the banana and the crisis. Like I think some of our music might come across more seriously than we intended when we made it. And I think that song is a good example of like those lines could be taken as like you're a crazy guy, but it's also like it's kind of silly. It's like, you're talking about my shoes, I'm gonna let your house on fire, you know. It's like
I would definitely say that from listening to them, they're very fun. Then you catch some of the lyrics and you're like, wait a minute,
yeah,
is there something
what did he
a little bit more serious? So since we've been talking about perfect crime, I think this is probably the perfect time to play it so that
sweet
dive more into it. So here,
I'm excited to hear the radio edit because we did not, you prepared this for us.
It's pretty much the same. And thankfully, Michael had a spare 2 seconds to do this since I have been not able to be here.
You didn't
too
re-record
much
all the guitars? No?
No, unfortunately. Didn't have time. So here is Perfect Crime by Banana Crisis on 101.5 UMFM.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM, the Manitoba in the Moment. We're here with Banana Crisis.
Yarp.
As
what
you heard
quirky
before.
Songwriting on that last song. Yeah. Who are
so silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder who wrote it. It's a good question. So with that song, you were talking kind of about your thought process with that, but how was bringing it to the band and then going in to record it? What was that all? Like, did it change a lot from the first date? And
so the band, I think we kept it pretty straight.
Yeah.
And then when we brought it to Riley, our producer, that's when it was cooking.
Riley Herbacio?
Yeah.
The fourth Beatle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fourth,
yeah.
Fourth Peeler.
Yeah. The fourth Peeler. I remember when we performed it, like, the verses initially didn't have as much drive. Like, they were kind of, and it was like, it didn't rock quite as hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with, we had this old joke about how, like, oh, if only we had a second guitar.
Mm.
Because, like, then you can do sort of, like, the nice leads on top. So the song was definitely, like, simpler.
And I guess important context. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, it's just, like, sort of, like, you could tell it's, like, it came from, like a song, like, written on acoustic guitar, mm-hmm. right? It was kind of, like, that vibe, and it had a little bit of the rock energy, but it didn't, like, he kind of helped sort of, like, level it up, make it a little bit more, like, you know, how it is.
Yeah.
Give it a when bit more punch.
When we started, Alec was on bass. It was just a three-piece.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how we kind of first brought those songs together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like the first time we played together, we played that song, and I don't think we recorded it for another year, I think, after that.
Yeah.
Played just about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Year.
Played it live a whole bunch, and then that evolved the song just naturally, and then when we brought it to Riley, he changed it quite a bit. And I think a part of the rocking feel was that we just started layered on a couple more guitars and kind of added a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Matt McLean.
McDirty.
McDirty.
McDirty, yeah.
McDirty Caesar.
Yeah, follows us along. We let him play bass, you know. It's charity work, but... Yeah.
you did a Make-A-Wish, and we had to help him out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good charity work.
No, he's great, though. And, yeah, having that fourth member, crucial.
Crucial. For our sound, at least.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely fills out mm-hmm. the song more when you have... Yeah. Just a little bit more kick to it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, after putting out your first song, how did that kind of put your band on a roll? Like, did it open more doors for you guys?
It almost ended the band, actually.
Really?
I went to, like, around the world just 'cause. I was backpacking for 9 months. So the song came out, like, a month after I left. And then we're getting all these messages like, oh, you want to play this? You want to do that? You want to do that? And I'm just sitting in the back like, yo, I'm in Greece. Like, sorry. and then the same thing with Strangers was also, we recorded that actually. It was looking like we weren't going to be able to record it. And then it was like a week before I was leaving and we're at a party. We're hanging out. And Alex, like, we're all hammered. And Alex, like, man, he's like, we gotta record that, man. He's like we can do it. I'm like, all right. So literally the night before I left for my trip, we were at Riley's till 2 a.m. working on that one. And then they completed it with Michelle, Shelby's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Has some backing vocals on there.
Oh, nice.
So some of that came in after Andrew had already left.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you left, there was a big question mark of whether you were going to come back at all.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, I was always going to come back, but was I going to come back?
Yeah.
And like our buddy Graham, I'm just thinking of now, he's in Australia. He's never coming back. Shout out Graham. He's not listening. but yeah, I was like kind of low key looking for a spot to live for a bit. And then while I was out there, realized that Winnipeg is home. This is the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up actually coming back earlier than I anticipated too. Like I was supposed to be gone for 11 months and then I called it at 9 because I was like, we want to get the band up and rolling for the summer. So I was, came back in like late April and kept it rolling.
Yeah, that was the best news ever.
I really needed that. Like,
yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, so the band's not done. We're going to keep going. I'm like, yes.
So were the two of you just kind of in a little bit of a chaos area when Andrew was away, or?
A little bit.
Well, I fell apart. I was off the second wagon. I didn't know the first one, you know?
I found some other sort of stuff to do musically. It was definitely like after the excitement of like finding, I mean, like me and Andrew have been friends a long time, so like he's always been a bro, but like finding like that third guy in Shelby, it's great, like great feeling, like just good chemistry. Like no matter what happens with the band, it's like we're having a blast doing it. So it was a little disappointing, but I knew Andrew needed that soul search out east. So I mean, we found like some other like gigs to play, and it was like good experience for me. Like I started playing with Zach Riley, who's now a good friend. Shout out Zach, as his guitar player, and you know, sort of just getting some more chops, some more like stage experience. I don't know if you feel like this, but I felt like when we came back, like having like that extra year off and sort of the regroup, like it, I feel like it helped sort of bring some energy in the band and a little bit like had a little bit more to offer.
Yeah. It gives you time to like think about it more. Like I think when it started, it was like, I can go to a practice and then this feels good. Let's go to a second practice. And then we just kind of kept going, played a couple shows. But having a year off, it was like, oh, I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I really want to like tackle this and like push like as hard as I can, you know?
Yeah. I found it really helpful too, because when we were a three piece, I was playing bass and I really only started playing guitar for the band. Like sometimes I'd like just help out with a part, but for recording, like Boris just threw me the guitar and said, hey, you know, play some lead stuff on here. So we cut that for the first two songs, and then, but I didn't have much stage experience with it. So getting that year off to sort of play around and get some improvement sort of helped when we regrouped.
Yeah.
Okay. So when the band got back together, did you continue with bass or did you just...
No, the plan was we would find a bass player, and if at any point we couldn't find one, I could just play it for a gig. But I think at that point, like I had talked to the guys about which instrument I should stick with, and they both wanted me on guitar. So I just stuck with it. And,
Dude is born to play lead guitar.
Yeah. Looks more comfortable with the guitar, you know?
I really like the bass, though. Like, you kind of are incognito. Like, it just kind of feels like, like you and the drummer just got the groove together.
Get that,
you
know?
And I feel far from you now.
Well, you're playing bass now in our like acoustic sets we have.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
But that's helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Keep the bond going.
Yeah,
yeah. I think one of our songs, "She's Only Easy," we had that was also one of the first songs we did. So we've been playing that one for like almost 3 years now. And back on in the bass days, there's like a part of the song that Alec and I would always like look at each other. And as soon as you put the bass down, we stopped doing it. And it's kind of,
you guys hit it the other day.
Because he's playing bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's playing bass.
You guys are laughing. I'm like, hey, the boys are back.
I still look back. He doesn't look over anymore.
Because you're a filthy lead. When you're playing the lead guitar, like when you're on lead, we're not friends. You know what I mean? Me and Matt, we lock it.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of a loner now, just on the side of the stage. But yeah. I do look back, like with that hope, like that one day it'll be reciprocated.
A bit of a love triangle going on.
So I stay out of it. I think, man.
You're just doing your thing.
Yeah.
You're in the background. Stay out of it.
In the foreground, up front.
Oh yeah, that is right.
Never looks back.
No.
Speaking of, though, there's a part on Wasting Away where I look back and you hit it like one time on stage, and I've looking back ever since, and you're not looking.
It's all on me now. I'm the one who doesn't connect with you guys. Hey?
You're literally always looking forward. You have to avoid our gaze on purpose.
I'm feeling called out.
I guess Shelby's a bit of the problem.
It's me, apparently.
Looking up like at the ceiling, like, oh, those are some nice I-beams. Like good welding at this venue.
I gotta focus, okay? I got cues to hit.
Okay. Yeah.
So moving back a little bit to Strangers in the Yard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry about that.
So you had Riley do the production. Yeah. And then how did that kind of go about after making it more into a song than an acoustic set?
I like that one a lot because it changed so much.
Yeah.
When we brought it to Riley, like yeah. It felt like a completely different song. Mm-hmm.
He had the innovation of on the verse, like dropping out and having the bass go.
And it grooves.
Yeah.
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 It definitely does. I've played it quite a few times on the show.
It's thanks.
Always thank just you. A vibe.
It's like
that's
a
where those stats came from.
Would you say it's like is a dark horse the right way to put it? Like it's kind of like not really like some of our other stuff, but it kind of like is a personal favorite of the band to like play into.
Yeah, that's
is
my
dark horse
my
or
favorite.
Black sheep.
Ooh.
Ooh,
ooh, I don't know.
Can be both. Can you guys like
both.
To do the yin yang, so I will cue that up, and then we'll be back. After a bit
listeners call in to let us know if it's a dark horse or a black.
Vote now.
Yeah.
So we're going to be listening to Strangers in the Yard by Banana Crisis, and then we will be back in a bit. You're listening to 101.5 UMFM.
But if I told you everything, you Naruin are true originals with a sound that defies time or place. Their music may come out of the Sahara, but what they've built is bigger than geography. A mix of slow-burning desert blues and psychedelia built on repetition, space, and guitar lines that feel like they're always moving forward, even when nothing is rushed. It's hypnotic and mesmerizing with a kind of stillness and peace that washes over you. Tuareg guitar masters Tanaruan perform at the Park Theater for one night only on September 10th at 7 p.m. Great tickets are available now for only $45 plus fees, available via ticketweb.ca. Don't miss Tanaruan live at Park Theater on September 10th, brought to you by your friends at Moto Live and proudly supported by UMFM 101.5.
Maybe you saw it. A loose cable, a slippery floor, or maybe you felt it when you were assigned a task you weren't ready for, but you stayed quiet. Now it's a matter of time before someone at work gets hurt, because silence won't stop a workplace injury. If it's unsafe, tell your employer or voice your concerns at 204-957-SAFE. Whether you're new to Manitoba or new to the job, you have the right to a safe workplace.
Trout Forest Music Festival's back and ready to light up Ear Falls, Ontario for another unforgettable weekend in the woods. From August 14th to 16th, Ear Falls Waterfront Park hosts 3 days of music and camping on the lake, 4 hours east of Winnipeg, but a world away from the everyday. Our lineup is stacked with a host of the most exciting voices in Canadian roots and folk, including the gritty, emotional depth of Juno Award winner Mariel Buckley and Moon River's lush indie folk. Son of Dave is sure to bring his signature raw, high-energy performance, while festival favorites the D-Rangers promise to showcase their classic country storytelling. With talent like Dom and Jacob, Raven Reed, Irvin Miller, and more rounding things out, it's a weekend that flows from the intimate to full tilt festival energy. Tickets are on sale now at troutfest.com with early bird prices on weekend passes available until July 31st. Camping and RV passes are extra, but this amazing lineup of talents is a great value for all. Don't
You're
miss the 2026
to
Trout Forest Music Festival.
UMFM. This is Manitoba in the moment.
Ontario.
We're here with Banana Crisis.
UMFM. Yerp. Yerp.
So we were just listening to Strangers in the Yard prior to the ads, which you guys were kind of talking about how it changed really differently from when you brought it in to when it finished and was released. So,
and it feels like we're just now playing it how it should be played.
Oh yeah. Took a while. It's kind of complicated. Even the recording process was a little bit, like, compared to the first tune we did, was a lot more work. Like, we had to cook on a bit, and then Andrew had already been gone, so like, we kind of had to figure out how we're gonna do it and sort of remain faithful to the track. But yeah, I love it. I love that song.
Oh yeah,
it's such a weird process to like have a song that you're playing in the basement and you play it till it feels good and you go, okay, this feels really good, and then you bring it to a show, you play it, and it still feels good. And you do that, you just do that loop and maybe make a change. And then, you know, in the future, maybe you bring it to the studio. So then you record it exactly as the way as it felt perfect. And then it doesn't feel good anymore because you're listening to it on a record. So then make changes. Okay, you made the changes. Well, now you got to learn how to play it again to the point it makes it feel good.
Yeah, like six guitars in that song.
There's mad guitars on that thing.
Only like this month that we like played it in practice one time. And we're like, that felt good. Like,
yeah. It's been feeling really good lately when we've been playing it.
Because you've been hitting that,
Yeah. I didn't know what to do in, like, the second verse for so long. And I'm just like, it's like this harmonic part I played. I put, like, a capo on and I did, like, this harmonic kind of stuff some of those verses. And has so many effects. I'm like, that'll never work. But I'm like, why don't I just, like, Guitar Hero it up and just, like, hit it.
you know.
Yeah, all comes back to Guitar Hero.
Yeah, always.
It does.
Yeah. Hit the star it's power the in the second verse.
Yeah.
So your newest release just came out, Heard She's a Witch.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's dive into that one a little bit. So from writing it to finally putting it out, what was the whole kind of story of the song going there?
Wrote it a couple years ago. I remember I started it as like, I like this idea of like rumors going around about someone. Like, oh, I heard this, I heard this, I heard this. And then I like having like a structure for the verse. So like Strangers in the Yard had that as well, where it's just like, kind of just like the verse are kind of just like a bunch of non sequiturs and then just like the ramblings of an insane person, and the chorus is like, and if I told you everything you wouldn't believe me. So I like having like like that type of framework of like
just like that.
Yeah. Because that like that kind of avoids for me the second verse problem or the third verse problem in Strangers of like, okay, we have a verse, we have a chorus, like where do you take it now? And that is often a roadblock. But if I have like a framework of like this is what the verse, every verse kind of is, then that makes it easier. So anyways, I like this idea of like oh, I heard this about this person, I heard this, and then pretty quickly landed on witchy stuff as the rumors are going around about this particular witchy individual. And that became the thing. I remember I was looking on like Wikipedia, looking at like what are like witchy things, like what was Salem like, and that's where I got the cows don't have milk line. I mean, that's
the best line in the song.
That was great.
Yeah, apparently in Salem that's what they were on about, like if your cows didn't have milk, like pff, witch, dude.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Like, that's the only logical thing. There's also something about like the witch like give you the evil eye, something like that. So I like that. And I guess also a theme with our songs is like taking like kind of like a goofy idea and just like bring it to the umpteenth degree, you know, like making it just absolutely insane by the end. So like the first few lines, oh, I heard she prays to rocks, I heard she talks to animals, like kind of innocent things, and then by the end she's like drinking blood, she's making potions, and she's talking to the devil now. Yeah, our upcoming song that I don't think we're playing today because we don't have the radio edit, but the Still Love That Word That Rhymes With Ditch, Still Love That Witch, we could call it. that song, like this idea of like, okay, you know, you love this girl, she's doing things to ruin your day, and, you know, but I still love her, you know? And then taking that to the craziest point possible where she's taking the batteries out your fire alarm, she's putting de-icing fluid, we say, what's that, antifreeze, like, yeah, like in your drink. Just like, yeah, like evil stuff, right? And being like, oh, but I still love her, you know. So yeah, we're just like going balls to the wall. I don't know if I can say that on radio.
Hi. Staying.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Switzerland here.
Yeah. It's a theme we like a lot. We've done it on, we have a couple unreleased songs too that have a similar sort of storytelling almost vibe to the songs.
Yeah.
That we really like.
Yeah, it's fantastic when you're listening to it because it's, the music itself is just, it catches you so much, and then you can tune into the lyrics and you get a little bit of a story out of it, or you can just go and listen to the actual whole song and just dance around. Like, it's a great balance of serious and the fun and a little bit goofy that you guys have been talking about the whole show, which
Thank
is
you.
Honestly
yeah,
awesome.
That's what we're going for.
Exactly what it is. So.
Well, you guys are succeeding. So you have been mentioning, obviously, there's the unreleased song and then some talk about an album coming up. So what kind of releases are you guys planning?
I think a full release might be a ways away. We definitely like to take our time with each song that we put out, because we want it to be like better than the last. And yeah. then when that one takes even more time, then it's like, well, then we need to put more time in
there. And for real, we're like 5 for 5. We're like, every song, we're like, this is the best one.
Yeah, every single time. Like, yeah. there hasn't been a time we made a new song that it wasn't just like our new favorite every time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the idea of putting like a longer cohesive project together, which I think like an album is like, every artist wants to put an album on.
The album is right? sacred.
It's sacred, mm-hmm. right? See, and then that invokes new problems of like how does an album flow, and like does it meet all the four corners of your style that you're trying to fit into the box, or your own box, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So I think one thing we can talk about, because we were going to talk about this like today or tomorrow, is with this new song that we're putting out, we're packaging it together with the three previously that we put out into like a small EP.
Oh, okay, nice.
We're calling the Witch / Ditch EP. rhyme word that rhymes with ditch. That one's coming out this
1 month.
1 month away?
1 month.
Yeah. 1 month
July
away.
July 30th.
So this is the early announcement right here, right now.
Right.
Exclusive.
Here.
Look at that. Ahead of the game. A
yeah.
Bit.
yeah. But I mean, we already got some cassettes available. We printed out some cassettes for this guy, so we've been having some fun with that.
Oh,
nice. And the covers.
Oh, actually, we should have brought one here today.
That would have been smart. I don't know why we didn't do that, but we made some cassettes, and then like so we made the cover kind of like an old school cassette thing. So you know, if you catch us at a show, you can hear the new tune in beautiful lo-fi.
Yeah, the lowest quality you'll probably ever hear it. It can be yours for $15.
I mean, cassettes are pretty cool. I myself have a Walkman, so.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with physical media, so.
And it's coming back.
Yeah.
Cassettes too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, McNally has quite a few like local musicians. Like Jamboree has some that they sell there.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. You guys could probably look into that if you wanted to, but.
Maybe we should.
That would be sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to
we
find did, them.
You need like a barcode. I remember we were talking about this. It's like a few dollars. How much was it to get a barcode?
It was like $30, but like we're like, are we going to even sell any at the store? So I mean, maybe they would give us like their own barcode, like in the store,
like a sticker, maybe barcode sticker.
Yeah,
true.
Worth looking into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're talking about some upcoming shows where people could get merch. So what shows do we have going on?
Oh, if I told you everything, you wouldn't believe me. Let me tell you.
We got a list.
Yeah, we're doing a any and every gig. I guess I'll pull up the list.
Let's see.
We're
the
doing
roster.
The any and every gig tour. We shouted it out on our Instagram like a month ago that we're just going to accept any gig because why not?
Yeah, it's the summer.
So
the more absurd, the better.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you're doing the dishes or something and you need some tunes, like we're there.
Yeah.
You know,
guys, you know where to find them. Go onto social media and find Banana Crisis. Just
send us a message.
Birthday party.
Yeah.
Anything.
All right, I'll super quickly run through these. We got this Friday at the Chili House. Our buddy William, his house, he does shows there. So we're playing with the Bifurcated from Vancouver on Friday there. Saturday at the Handsome Daughter with Twin Mattress and Prairie. Very much looking forward to that one.
It's
that's
gonna be
a great
good one.
Thursday, July 16th at Boston Pizza on the Boston Pizza Charleswood on the patio. Nice 3-hour acoustic set. July 30th, Thursday at the Tap House with North Drive. Sunday, August 16th at the Handsome Daughter with Also Ran, Second Floor Patience, and Until Defeat. Sunday, August 23rd at Way Out Fest. Yerm. That's my music festival in Seven Sisters Falls, Manitoba. Friday, August 28th at the Osborne Tap House with Little Mountains and Unexpected End.
And don't forget Folk Fest. We're not playing at Folk Fest.
Oh, yeah,
but we're
going to
be the campgrounds.
But,
yes.
We're
going to
be in the campgrounds.
We will be playing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got an acoustic bass. It's pretty cool.
Come jam with
us.
Yeah.
It's more fun if we're not playing our own music. Just come and hang out and we'll jam together. It'll be a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always great to be in the campgrounds.
Yes.
So I skipped ahead a little bit. My bad. But we're going to play Heard She's a Witch, and then we'll be right back to talk more about and with Banana Crisis.
Huge.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment, and we are here with Banana Crisis.
Your
most serious band in Winnipeg.
Very much so.
Yeah, very serious, very business.
There's just stony faces in here.
Mm-hmm.
We're working. Obviously, this is like an audio format, but we still are in suits and ties.
Yep.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Please wear that to our shows. Three piece.
Yeah, business attire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So everybody better get to the thrift store and go find something.
Yeah.
Tailored only.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta get tailored,
yes.
Obviously. So that was your newest song release.
Mm-hmm.
And you were kind of talking about how it has a storyline with it, and then we dived a little bit into upcoming shows. So what is happening most recent that you want everybody to go and check out?
Hmm.
For shows, I think this Saturday is the big one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Been looking forward to this one for a long time.
Yeah, this is the one we actually booked. This wasn't the any and every gig nonsense. We booked this, like, months ago. Super, super excited to play with Prairie and Twin Mattress, both great bands.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's going to be a great time.
And that's part of the Real Love shows as well, right?
No, actually, this was just, we just booked it.
Okay, yeah. Fun.
We did do one previously, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
This one, though, just us. And we love The Daughter. Like, it's such a good venue.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Eric.
Yeah. Shout out Eric. Love Eric. Yeah.
Definitely is one of the best for hearing local music, gotta say. They always have something going on.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with their garage days starting up again, which I don't know if everybody else listening has heard of it, but they're pretty great to go and see. They open the garage door they have on the front, and they have someone play kind of an acoustic set on their patio.
Oh, okay. Show Pony did that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Sweet.
It's in the afternoon, too, so even if you're can't make it to an evening show, you can go and see something in the afternoon, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We should book that.
I don't know how you guys feel, but playing, like, late is, like, might be the worst part about
not
it.
Not the read.
It's like when we have like a bill, it starts at like 6 p.m. music at 7. I get excited. Yeah. I get really excited.
Same.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just getting old, but.
The Tap House shows are pain. Like I love the Tap House.
Love the Tap House.
We started at the Tap House.
Shout out Brett.
Huge shout out Brett. But yeah, those shows, the doors at 9, shows at 10. And then if you're closing, which like, you know, you might think, oh, closer, like that's the best spot. The worst, bro, on at like 12:30, kill me.
Yeah.
I find that jump from if we have to play at 11 to playing at 12, like I definitely like 20% like down in my playing ability in that 1 hour. I just like,
I also feel bad just like having people people coming out to see you, right? Like, you know, because other people, like, it's a such a big commitment to sort of like spend your night and get dressed and go out to see it, like support like a band or some mm-hmm. people you know. So, you know, the earlier the better.
Yeah.
And I think the prairie show's a bit earlier. Or at least it's reasonable.
Yeah,
times.
It's a little bit earlier.
It's reasonable times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. 9, 10, 11, we're on at 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you guys say is your favorite part of being in a band together before we unfortunately have to close off the show?
Oh, okay.
Good question. Oh, I was just rolling. This is so much fun.
Yeah.
best part? That's a good question.
One of the things that I really like, and I mean this like unironically, is like we hang out a lot outside of music too. Like we'll play card games and stuff. But then we also just always have something to work on. So we're playing card games. He's like, yo, did you send out that email? And you're like, right, yeah. Right, and then you get to have that little moment. You're like, oh, I hope we get that. Right? That's just, yeah. Did you guys hear the new demo? And it's like, it's that's like those exciting moments are like probably like the best part about it.
Yeah, I guess it's just so cool that we're all besties and we're doing cool stuff. So like whenever we get together and just to hang out, we're always like, oh, this is cooking, yeah. You know.
Yeah, as a, I love that part, and as a second part, I love just having like you get to see your friends way more often, like who are coming out to shows. Like it's like a great like time to get everybody together, true. You know, that you might not see because everyone's busy with their lives. But you know, it's like it's a fun event, and mm-hmm. yeah, you know,
it's kind of like being the person whose house everyone goes to party. You know,
yeah, it's kinda.
You get to be like the social glue. Maybe that's. Speaking too highly of our band, but like right. you get to be the person like throwing events, you know what I mean? He was like, everyone's like, oh, you going to the show? Like, yeah, and we'll meet up and we'll hang out after. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So, anything to plug? Andrew, I know you have your podcast. Do you want to?
Sure. Yeah. My podcast called In the Zone with Andrew Boris. I interview musicians, local and touring. I got a big thing coming for Folk Fest. Stay tuned for that. But the big thing to plug is Way Out Fest. This is a music festival I'm doing with my buddy Tyson Wagner. August 21st to 23rd in Seven Sisters Falls, Manitoba. Headlining, we got Tired Cossack, Holy Void, JD Edwards, Luana Moth. Banana Crisis, of course, is also playing.
Yep.
And it's going to be a blast. 500 people. Tickets are not sold out yet, so you can go to wayoutmb.ca to cop. And we'll see you there. It's going to be awesome.
Yay. Mm-hmm. You guys have anything else?
Follow us on Instagram because we're putting out new music very soon.
Yes, that is true.
Go listen to Her She's a Witch. We're super proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fantastic song.
Thank you. All of the music
is fantastic.
Thank you.
So we will be back next week with, I believe it is Sam Fournier next week. Might have gotten my dates mixed up, but we've got lots of guests coming on the show in the next bit. So make sure you tune in to 101.5 for Manitoba in the Moment. And thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Yo, Pig, Gritty, where you at? Where you at? Where you at? This is Cadence Weapon. You're listening to UMFM 101.5 FM. Wrap it up.
Gila, gila, vava, my people. This is Azanti, and I'm here with my friend
Zion.
Z, what are you saying? Every creative project needs the right space.